It's not. There we go. Let's pray. Father, today's message is very controversial in many places, but it's not in my heart. And I pray right now, Father, that in the hearts of those listening, Lord, that they will use wisdom and discernment. They will be Bereans of the Word. They will look up Scripture. They will go into you and for prayer, and they will see that, Father, the Ten Commandments are still in force. They're still part of our lives because it's who you are. It's your nature and your character. But, Father, help them remember most of all to look at this cross, because through grace and mercy, we are given do-overs all the time. And we thank you for the opportunity to walk that road of holiness. So this morning, God, I pray that part of that road is a freedom road, a place where they can understand really what the Sabbath means. And when they understand what the Sabbath means, they're not even going to think about Saturday or Monday or Wednesday. They understand the fullness of what the word represents, in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. Let's read it. God commands, remember the Sabbath day. He didn't say Saturday, go back. He didn't say Saturday, he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor, do all your work. But the seventh day, this seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord, your God. In it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male or your female, your cattle, your sojourner who stays with you. Gosh, he's not talking about church and worship yet. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed that seventh day, Sabbath, and he made it holy. He set it apart amongst all the others. Out of 7 days, that one day, that's holy. Because you're to stop, you're to cease, you're to stop work and rest. Okay? Sabbath refers, obviously, to rest. It's the word Shabbat, or Shabbat means the pause that refreshes. That's what it means. Doesn't mean Saturday. It means the pause. Now, they celebrated it on Sabbath. The Hebrews did, because that was going to be, as we see in the next scripture, in honor of their deliverance, just like we celebrate it in honor of something different, but it's still deliverance, and you're going to see that in a second. But Shabbat, let's just stay with it. Sabbath refers to rest, Shabbat, the pause that refreshes. It's first mentioned in regards to God, we read here, resting on the seventh day of creation. He did it in Genesis. That's the first time we see it. And then it's mentioned in regards to man here, resting from all of his work, or business as usual. It's the next time. The Sabbath still remains today, but from the form of its observance has changed as a result of what Christ did on the cross, his redemptive work on the cross. From God's work at creation to rest, to what we'll see with the Hebrews being delivered from Egypt, to Christ's work on the cross, Sabbath, rest, takes different form, and why we celebrate it. And why certain groups celebrated it back in Adam and Eve's day during the Hebrews' time and during the church's time. You're going to see that. Stay with me. Now remember that the Sabbath in the Old Testament law was not primarily a day of worship. It was a day of rest. The pattern of weekly worship didn't even exist in the Old Testament. The Sabbath has always embodied or given expression to redemption, rest, liberation, wholeness of life, freedom, rest, liberation, wholeness of life, fullness of God. Get away from all your work. Take that seventh day. Take that pause that refreshes. Remember me. Reflect on me. Let me fill you up. Meet together. Worship together. Whatever. Take every seventh day and do this. You need it. I've made it that way. I've built you that way. Amen. Sure, it's here today. It's always given embodiment to this wholeness of life, this redemption. That's what it means. That's what it's referring to. Rest means confidence in God's work, so we cease from our own. Since redemption or freedom is the essence of the Sabbath, listen to me. Since redemption or freedom is the embodiment, the essence of why the Sabbath is here, hence why Jesus is called Lord of the Sabbath. Think about that. He is called Lord of this freedom and redemption. Look what he did. He's the ultimate redemption. Sure, Israel was delivered from Egypt and they celebrated it on Saturday because of their freedom from that. And we're going to read that in Deuteronomy and when he gave it again. And you'll notice the change between what was written in Exodus and written how it was written in Deuteronomy due to the times of the change. And then when Jesus came and gave us ultimate redemption, how much more freedom do we need? He's our rest. He's our freedom. He's our redemption. We are to take a day and we are to worship him in spirit and truth. And we do it on his resurrection day because that's when he did it. I don't care if you do it on Monday or Thursday, but every seventh day, you need to look to the cross, you need to remember what he's done, and you need to take your rest in him. Amen. He is Lord of the Sabbath. Hence why when you read in the scriptures, you were allowed to heal. You were allowed to rescue, feed, hunger. All of that was satisfied on the Sabbath because it means rest, redemption, help somebody. Push the button if you need to go up to an elevator to get to the fourth floor because there's a fire. Not, I can't do that because it's the Sabbath. This is man's interpretation. The Hebrews, they went in a different direction with it. They got legalistic with it. Heal, rescue, feed. Jesus said they picked grain because they were hungry. He said you'd rescue your animal because it's all about you're missing it. I'm Lord of the Sabbath. I am your rest. Get away from this Saturday Sabbath every single week. Rescue, heal, deliver. You're redeemed. You're free. I've delivered you from death, hell, and the grave. Yeah. It ain't a Saturday thing. It's an everyday thing. But we take a day because we need it. Because we're working every other part of the week. All right, don't get carried away, Scott. Keep going here. He's Lord of the Sabbath. I want to get you free today. You are allowed to heal, rescue, feed, hunger on the Sabbath, as Jesus aptly demonstrated to the Pharisees. Mark chapter 2, 23 to 27. And it happened that he was passing through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And the disciples began to make their way along, picking the heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, hey, look, why? What are they doing? That's not lawful to do that on the Sabbath. It's Saturday. And he said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need? And he and his companions became hungry? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, he ate the consecrated bread. Oh my gosh. Which is not lawful for anybody to eat except the priests. And he also gave it to those who were with him. Oh boy, was he contributing. Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The whole reason you've got that is so that we could feed the hungry and get saved and reflect on him and understand that the wholeness of life and liberty and freedom is what Sabbath meant. God didn't need to rest. He didn't get tired. He's not weary. It wasn't supposed to be that. Look, if that doesn't convince you, we also find no trace of Sabbath penalties. There are always penalties for breaking the Sabbath. Affecting the church after Christ's resurrection, when the Sabbath was changed to Sunday by the disciples of Jesus, there were no penalties. God didn't come down with his wrath. There were no penalties within the church after that. They just changed it because of the ultimate freedom, the ultimate Sabbath, Jesus our rest, the Lord of the Sabbath came on the scene. They felt that the resurrection of Jesus superseded the Old Testament law where the Hebrews were delivered from Egypt. How much more are those of us who are delivered by the Son of Man? They said it superseded the Old Testament law, and it took about 300 years to become official. The Catholic Church changed it, they claim. It was the only church. The church changed it. The Catholic just meant that it was just the one holy apostolic church at the time. Denominations now have sprung. But back then, there was one church. And yes, they changed it because of the ultimate redemption and Lord of the Sabbath that came on the scene. Because we understand what real meaning of Sabbath is and why we observe it. It is still part of the law, and we do need to continue to observe it. But it has nothing to do with Saturday. Paul even warned of judging Christians as to the day of the week they were to keep the Sabbath. Look at it in Colossians chapter 2. Therefore, no one else is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. Things which are what? He's trying to tell us you're missing the whole purpose, you Jews, that from the Sabbath. Yes, God rested on the seventh day. Yes, you were delivered from Egypt. But now Jesus is your substance. Things which are a mere shadow, this old religious Saturday thing, as a substance of what was to come. but the substance belongs to Christ. It was a shadow. It was pointing towards a new covenant. We're not under the old covenant anymore. We're in the new covenant. But the pattern of God and the character nature of God is the same in the old covenant. It is the new covenant. It's just that, again, the way we observe it has changed. Just like there's no... We were talking today about Shekinah glory. You know, airplanes aren't mentioned in the Bible, but they're there. They're inferred with. So, you know, we get legalistic and we say, well, this word's not in the Bible, therefore we can't use it. It says it doesn't even contain all of what God has for man. This is just a synopsis. We can't add to it or take away because all of its principles are contained within it. But for crying out loud, don't get so legalistic you start arresting yourself and limiting yourself to days of worship and to words you use in songs and all this stuff. Come on! Be free! It's time to get free. The change from the Hebrew Sabbath to the Christian Sabbath on the day of resurrection was reflective of the type of deliverance or redemption that was experienced. The Hebrew Sabbath, again, as described in Deuteronomy in the law, made it clear that the Hebrew Sabbath celebrated their deliverance from Egypt. Go, Deuteronomy chapter 5. Okay? We read in Exodus that it was what? Seventh day rest because God rested. He did his work and then on the seventh day he rested. Now we read the same thing, but the words changed a little bit. Listen. He tells the Hebrews, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Sound the same so far? But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, female servant, ox, donkey, any of the cattle or sojourner that stays with you. Same, right? So that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. Everything's the same so far. You shall remember that you are... Oh, wait a minute. Now, the words changed a little bit. The form of the observance has changed a little bit. Not only just that, but on this day you are to remember that you were a slave in Egypt. And the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. You're the Hebrews. You're my people. I delivered you from Egypt. Here's the day. Here's this Saturday. You're supposed to do that because this was your redemption at the time. Jesus wasn't there quite yet. So God was working hand in hand, all with the angels and the prophets, and boom, he delivers them from Egypt. But yet, it's only a shadow of what came in the New Testament. Because when Jesus came with our ultimate redemption, it's to him now we look and we remember Jesus, not our deliverance from Egypt, because we were never in Egypt. How about you? Yeah. Slow down, the horse is rolling. Jesus, that's all I really need to say, isn't it? Go back to Exodus 28 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Look at the words. 6 days you shall labor, do no work. Do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath. You shall not do any work. And again, read it to the end. The sojourner who stays with you. Verse 11. For in 6 days he made the heavens and the earth and the sea, but he rested. Therefore he blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. Do you see the difference? It was stated differently. The Bible makes no mistakes. It writes the heart of God. And in the time of God, Genesis was the real Genesis. Exodus was the real Exodus. In the New Testament, when we come into the year, you know, 10 and 20 and 70 and stuff like that, things were written during that time for those people, and the books were written. We need to see how things have the principle and the character and the nature of God is always the same, but the names change. Jesus replaced the law. But he didn't take away from its nature and character that we're to obey. It's just that he's our form of deliverance now, not the law. Yeah, we need to thank him very much so for this. Remember the Sabbath in regards to creation, putting our focus on God's pattern of rest and appreciation for the wholeness and fullness of life. That's what it was for. Now, again, he supplies as the author and sustainer of life. So we can see the meaning of the Sabbath from God's perspective at creation. Man's need for rest and renewal. Wholeness of life. That's the meaning. Then we see it from the Hebrews' perspective following the Exodus. God's deliverance that brought them freedom from slavery in Egypt. And finally we see it from Jesus' perspective, hallelujah, in the New Testament. Ultimate deliverance and redemption from sin, death, hell, and the grave through him. So the manner in which we observe the Sabbath merely changed to reflect the way God has progressively revealed himself to us in Scripture and the life of his Son, Jesus Christ. So our observance of Sabbath is now a person. Listen. Our observance of Sabbath now is a person, Jesus Christ, Lord of the Sabbath. Therefore, the Sabbath remains. Matthew 12, 5 to 8. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice. Wow, that'll preach. You would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Amen. That legalism, that Hebrew Saturday, all that stuff, all of that, a form of what was to come till the freedom, till the ultimate liberation, till the ultimate redemption would come, the Lord of the Sabbath, our rest. It is a person, not a day. And a specific day of the week. This is going to get a little hard. Jesus is our rest or our redemption, right? Therefore, to reject his rest is to seek salvation by another inadmissible way. We're going to go back to the law and think that our deliverance comes from observing the commandments? That's not going to get us into heaven, no matter how good you are. I don't care if you observe Saturday. I don't care if you don't kill or you don't murder. I guarantee you, you're breaking it somewhere. There's nobody that's perfect other than Jesus. He's the only one who fulfilled all that. There's no way that you can go back and live by that way. Good luck. You can't do it. He is our rest. So remember, the Hebrews celebrated their deliverance from Egypt on Saturdays. Their Sabbath day. New Testament believers celebrate our deliverance, Christ's resurrection, on Sundays, our Sabbath. Now, lest you get hung up on the actual day of the week by the advocates of Saturday Sabbath, you need to understand the true meaning of Sabbath, as we've already discussed, which will set you free. But it was never about a specific day of the week. It was about 1 in 7. How do I know that? Sabbath doesn't mean Saturday. It means the pause that refreshes. We said that. And that's not limited to a specific day of the week. First of all, the Hebrew Sabbath and the modern Saturday cannot be equated. It can't. Listen to me. The calendar of Israel does not permit it because it was a solar calendar. Israel lived by the solar calendar. The Hebrews retained the Egyptian calendar, because remember, they were in bondage for all those years. They retained the Egyptian calendar of 12 months of 30 days. Now think about this. 12 months of 30 days. They had 3 days at the end of their 6 month and 2 days at the end of their 12 month and to get 365. They just add it. But they wanted to keep the months consistent. 30 days apiece. Leviticus, which we're going to read here in a second, tells us that the 15th day of Abib, which is the Hebrew first month, had to be a Sabbath every year. And that there had to be 7 complete Sabbaths following up to it so we could reach Pentecost. They had their Pentecost, the first fruits, when they brought their first fruits in. And there was a command that says it has to be on the 15th day of Abib, first month. That's got to be a Sabbath. Then there are to be 7 successive Sabbaths following that. And then Pentecost comes. That was a rule. Let's read it in Leviticus 23. 3 to 7, then 15 to 16. For 6 days, work may be done, but on the 7th day, there is a Sabbath of complete rest, a holy convocation, gathering. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the appointed times of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at the times that I've appointed for them. Here it is. So he's saying, okay, these are when you got to gather. The first month, on the 14th day of the month at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. Then on the 15th day of that same month, there is to be a feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. We know this to be the Hebrew Sabbath. The Passover was the night before. Then 15th day, the same month, feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat the unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work. Keep going. Verse 15 and 16. You shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath. From the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering, there shall be 7 complete Sabbaths that pass before that day after that, which is the Pentecost. So we know that the 15th day and 7 other Saturdays after that were to be a Sabbath. And then comes Pentecost. You shall count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. You shall present a new grain offering to the Lord. All right, now follow me. The dates were Abib 15, That's when he said it starts, and then seven complete Sabbaths. So it had to be Abib 29. Then the next month they call Ayar, which is the Ayar the 6th, the 13th, the 20th, and the 27th. And then finally Sivan 4, which is the next month on the 4th. These were fixed dates for Sabbath according to Scripture. So since the date of the month had to be constant according to the Hebrew calendar, remember we go back now, the Hebrew calendar with 30-day months, since the date of the month had to be constant to their calendar, the day of the week had to be variable. The day of the week had to be variable. This means that once in 7 years, each of the dates would fall on every single day of the week, just as your birthday comes every single day of the week every year, each year as it progresses. Do you see that? Because their dates were fixed by month, the day of the week had to change each year so the Sabbath would not fall on a Saturday. It would have to fall on each day of the week as the years passed and went through. Do you see that? Yes. It had to be, according to Scripture, those seven Sabbaths, their calendar was fixed, the dates are fixed by God, therefore when they celebrated it during this time, it had Sabbath was not a Saturday, even for them. Every single week. It was consistent and a lot of the time, but not all the time. It wasn't legalistic. It was never meant to be legalistic. So again, this means what? Saturday alone is the true Sabbath, even for the Hebrews, is unbiblical. Because then if they would have done it on any other day of the week other than that Saturday, they'd be breaking their own Sabbath. Of course, Jesus would have come and said, so what? I picked the grain. It's not nothing to do with Saturday or picking the grain and stuff. I'm Lord of the Sabbath. It's wholeness. It's redemption. You're missing the entire meaning. But not only do Sabbatarians claim as the only day to observe the Sabbath of rest and worship, claim Saturday as the only day to observe Sabbath, again, of rest and worship, they say there's no evidence of Sunday worship in Scripture. Well, maybe not, but maybe. Let's look. Leviticus 23, 10 and 11. Speak to the sons of Israel. Say to them, when you enter the land which I'm going to give you to reap and harvest, you shall bring in the sheaf, the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord for you to be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath. Huh? What was this holy convocation, this offering, this wonderful gathering of worship? When? Where? The day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Oh my goodness. He did? The day after the Hebrew Sabbath is Sunday. And the priest worshiped here during the Feast of First Fruits. But wait a minute. Let's look at Leviticus 15 and 16 again, and then verse 21. You shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wailing. There should be seven of them from the day after. That's Sunday. You shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. And you shall present a new grain offering to the Lord. So here's another Sunday of worship. On this same day, you shall make a proclamation as well. You're to have a holy convocation. That means we're all meeting on Sunday. In the Old Testament, how can we do this? You shall do no laborious work. We're celebrating wholeness. First fruits now too. It is to be a perpetual statute. Oh my goodness. A perpetual statute in all your dwelling places throughout your generations. So I guess Sunday was okay to meet. At least some of the time. Most of the time it was Saturday because that was their way. That was their life. That was what they celebrated from Egypt and stuff. But it wasn't a legalistic thing. It was just because that was that time. And then Christ resurrects and we meet on Sunday. Then the disciples start it. They in honor of that and we do the same thing. We're the Hebrews, we're celebrating the same thing. It's just that we have different days of the week we're doing that. But every seventh. So don't get hung up on some day of the week as if that has... God's up there... they worshipped on Monday, can't count that one. Oh, they did on Saturday, they're the winners. Come on, angels go. I know we laugh, but I'm telling you, this is very serious because I know I wrestled with it in my spirit and I'm not trying to knock. I'm just trying to free people that don't need to get bound up in all of that can be free. Hey, if you think you got to worship on Saturday, by all means, go and do it. Because you don't want to do anything that you think you're doing against the Lord. But I'm here to tell you that if you really understand what the Sabbath is, it'll free you to worship any day of the week, as long as you're getting that 1 in 7 to give your body a rest and to rest in Jesus. God's people were commanded to cease from labor and worship, and it was Sunday, and they were to do it perpetually as the Feast of First Fruits of Pentecost. Here's a good one for you. How much more those of us who have experienced New Testament Pentecost? They were doing it on Sunday as a commemoration of first fruits of the Feast of Pentecost. We've got Pentecost. How much more should we be on Sunday worshiping the first fruits of Pentecost? Jesus Christ having risen on that Sunday morning and the Holy Spirit coming and filling us, God's presence dwelling among us on a Sunday. We're the first fruits unto Jesus. Folks, this is just to show you that even in the Old Testament, Saturday was not to be a legalistic way. So grasp the deeper meaning and purpose of Sabbath. God does not become fatigued or tired, yet on the seventh day he rested. That wasn't the whole purpose. He stopped. That's what it means. He wasn't tired. He stopped. The pause that refreshes. He gave us a pattern. Look, Jesus gave us a pattern in which to live. That's why we have the New Testament. He gave us a pattern in which to live. He lived God's pattern in the Old Testament and fulfilled it. He brought it into the New Testament with grace and mercy that says when you fall down and the law trips you up and condemns you to hell, you have a way to repent and turn from it, still follow the way of the Old Testament, but now you're liberated. You get to do it again. That's what the New Testament brings us. He gave us a pattern to live by, irregardless of the day of the week you choose to stop. To pause, to refresh. Yes. Come on. We are not to throw ourselves into employment or business or become fatigued, which man does. Yes. And totally forget that this rest is built in by God. It is His intermission time for us. That's what it means. An intermission time. It's God's intermission in our lives. And if you limit that to one day of the week, I feel sorry for you. You better be intermittent all the time in your life with every decision you make, every prayer you pray, every time you worship, every time you minister. You ought to pause, be refreshed. Repentance brings refreshing. Man needs a day of rest if he's going to be at his best. That's just how God designed us. He's the manufacturer, right? He made us that way. That's why he gave us that model in Genesis and why he told the Hebrews to do it when they were slaves in Egypt and we were slaves to Satan and Jesus came and said, do the same, but rest in me. I love this. God made it that way. Here's an African guide who said this. This is an African guide speaking. We rest today. We let souls catch up with bodies. Is that good? We rest today. We let soul catch up with body. Of course. Our spirit man needs refreshing. Hey, do you know anybody like this? Listen to this. I don't know why I am here. I don't know what I am doing or where I am going, but I sure am making good time. Folks, that's what the Sabbath is designed to keep us from falling into. This. And this, and this, and you know what I mean? And all the electronics, and all of the things that facilitate, yes, us to get things done and to do things. But there's no replacement for this. Be blessed. I love you. No electronics in the world. To go home and get home with your family after a long day of work. I know my brother does this because Brett testifies this. To sit down with your family out back, to sit around the fire, to play a game, to speak life into each other, to have fun. God didn't design us to come down here and be bored and be broken and be just beat up all the time. He wants us to experience the relationship that we have with Him, with each other. And as fathers, on Father's Day, we're commanded to lead our families prophetically. We're commanded to lead them as the leaders of our home. We're to speak life, root out sin, keep things safe, an environment where the family looks forward to coming home and hearing from Dad. And we can play and enjoy. And don't do it on a computer all the time. Do it face to face. All the games we play and the time we stare at a box. We play looking at a box when we could look at each other's faces. Don't get me started. Speaking to myself, don't get me started. The Sabbath was never set aside to enumerate what we should not do. It is set aside to recall or remember what we should do. And that's to meet with God regularly and be refreshed. Yeah. Folks, our source of life is in God and knowing Him. Sabbath helps us to get into His presence. Why is Sabbath there? To help us get into His presence. Ezekiel 20:12. Eric, will you go get the children and bring them back in? Listen to Ezekiel. Well, listen to God through Ezekiel. Also, I gave them my Sabbaths. Yes. Why? To be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. It was to be for relationship. It was to be so that we could get to understand the character and nature of our God, to spend the day with Him, to rest from our work, to put our focus on worship, to put our focus on reading God's Word, to put our focus on prayer, to put our focus on praise, to hold your wife's hand and son's arms and go out and play a round of golf. Oh, I can't pick up a golf ball. It's the Sabbath. Rest. Enjoy. Think about God. Pray on every hole. That your ball goes in two instead of three. No, that's not it. What I'm trying to say is no matter where you are, what you cover, where you are in the world, in the closet or out on a field or in a playing basketball, whatever stuff like that, the rest, the frame of mind, all is about where your soul and your spirit is. It's not to be legalistic. Are you observing the Sabbath? Are you keeping it set apart just for God? And you can do that because He wants us to love our neighbors, ourselves, and to fellowship with each other. So through our fellowship, we're in God. Playing croquet. I'm fellowshipping and I'm loving people and I'm fellowshipping and being part of what God has for us. And I'm thinking about God. It's where this is, your soul and your heart. Not legalistically with whether you're pushing a button or mowing the lawn or what. We miss it. Growth in the knowledge of the Lord from Ezekiel is what gives meaning to Sabbath. Hence why Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, head of the church, and why we worship, give, read the Word, etc. on Sundays. Or any day of the week for that matter. Paul taught us again in Colossians. I want you to read it again because it's the last scripture I'm putting up today. But you got to read it again. Paul in Colossians. Don't be a judge. Don't act as a judge of people in regard to food, drink, respect to a festival, or new moon, or even the Sabbath day that they're worshiping on. Things which are just a shadow of the substance which belongs to Christ. It belongs to Jesus to judge us of whether our heart's right on the Sabbath. Not each other. Right? Who's going to judge you when you stand before God? Not your brother. Not your mother. Jesus is going to judge you. And He's going to look at the attitude of your heart. Thank God. And He didn't look at our deeds. Back to the law. Because if that's the case, I know, I say it all the time. You're toast. Say, I say that five times. Okay, whatever. I'll say it one more time. Toast. Folks, keep the Sabbath day holy. Keep it set apart. Setting aside 1 in 7, where you let everything else fall and keep your focus on God. God requires 1/10 of our substance, our tithe, and 1/7 of our time. I'm going to say that again. God requires, commands, 1/10 of our substance, our tithe, and 1/7 of our time. God demands His intermission into our lives. So in conclusion, here's the primary purpose of the Sabbath and summary of the fourth commandment from our exegesis as we just studied all of what God has here. Here it is. Thou shalt take 1 day in 7, a special intermission time, which God has provided for letting our souls catch up with our bodies, putting the eyes of purpose and meaning into our lives. That's setting aside the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. That's remembering God's work on the cross and His work at creation and His work in delivering the Hebrews. It all culminates in freedom and redemption, of setting aside a day to simply look at God and say, wow. Creation, wow, you delivered the Hebrews, wow, you added the Gentiles, wow, you sent Jesus, wow, you're coming again and every knee will bow and tongue confess your Lord. Wow, that's Sabbath. That's freedom. That's my God. Rest, folks. Just be still. I'm going to ask the praise team to come. Just be still and know that He is God. Set aside a day for Him. That is Sabbath. I don't know about you. Put your pens and pencils down. Take that light. Douse it. Kids are coming in. Everybody stand up.